But Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord, and we just thank you for just blessing us this night, Lord.
All right.
Father, guide us, direct us, and we just want to edify you tonight. We just bind up the enemy from trying to bring any distractions with any of the equipment or any of the bandwidth. And we just thank you for just a blessed night. Just guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and open it up to prayer. If anybody's got needs any prayer or would like to pray for somebody, go ahead and open that up. Does anybody have any prayer requests or need prayer? All right. So how about any testimonies? What do you want to bring forth? Want to brag on the Lord or share any testimonies? A quiet crowd tonight.
I was sharing at work a little bit with some of the people about this Greek crisis thing. And some are kind of receptive, and, you know, others are scared, don't really want to talk about it. And, you know, others are just kind of don't want to hear anything about it. You know, they really don't want to think about those kind of things. And it's amazing how the, not that I'm trying to, you know, scare people, but, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get people primed for what's coming, maybe, on short notice. And but you can tell the people that are really attached to the world, they just don't want to see this come. it's not good. Well, you know, I got to admit, we're kind of maybe a little, having the baptism of the Holy Spirit helps, and talking to each other and listening to David. You know, it kind of takes away some of the fear of it all a little bit. You know, it takes away some of the mystery about it. But, you know, the anxiousness as far as it happening soon, maybe possibly turning the world upside down, you can see where most of the people are not going to be ready for this at all. And they don't see this as being a good thing. You know, it's probably not in a lot of ways. It can be pretty... I mean, life transforming, that's for sure, in a sense, for a lot of people, including most of us. Probably it's going to be a change, you know, how things are done. But I had one response from a lady today, and it's kind of atypical, I guess. I feel sorry for, it's not like you're trying to be judgmental. I wasn't being there at all. But it was like I mentioned it, and I was with another man that was there. I mentioned it between the two of them, and she kind of took off. And later on, I just kind of briefly talked to her. I says, you know, I think you're a Christian, right? She says, well, I don't go to any churches, but I read the Bible. I says, oh, that's good. So do I. And we talked a little bit, and then I shared a little bit about UBM, and she says, well, I don't really want to hear about that, in a sense. And she kind of was, it's a little daily thing, a daily bread. It's a little booklet. She reads that and does the scriptures, and that's where she's good at. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine. And later on, I talked to her again. I said, I didn't really make you want to think you feel comfortable about anything. I was not trying to share anything. She says, you know, that really makes me feel good, because I didn't really want us to, you know, have anything there between us. I says, what? I'd feel a lot better if we just talk about candy or something. Oh, okay. That's I just don't. People will own up to being a Christian, but they really don't want to. Some people don't really want to talk about God. You know, it's very uncomfortable for them to do that, and that's a shame. That's really a shame, because, you know, for us, you know, we love to talk about the Lord. We love to get together and share, you know, with each other about things. And a lot of people just feel very uncomfortable about that, and they just don't know how to talk about it. I think they're afraid they're going to get sucked into something that they are afraid to, and they have to deal with it. It's maybe going to upset their understanding, you know, or maybe be some kind of something we're trying to suck them into that's going to, you know, be something bad for them. I don't know. I just don't understand totally why people are so, you know, not receptive to talk about the Lord, because that's their life. I was talking to another guy earlier today, and you know, we were just having a great conversation in the Lord, you know, and you know, I'd mentioned a few things, and he was just getting, you know, enlightening and loving it, you know, and it's like such a difference between people on how they understand and feel about the Lord and their beliefs and their life with God. It's such a spectrum there. Anyways, I just shared that real quick.
Yeah, that's you know, it's that was one thing when I went on this trip to Ohio, I was just really seeing, because I'd had a talk with my little sister who's kind of handling the affairs with my mom, and I told her months ago, I said, you need to just get this house on the market. I said, just, you know, just put a real fair price on it. Don't try to get a top price and just get it on the market. And I said, this economy is very fragile. It's going to crash. And I said, we've got, you know, just dreams, there's prophecies, there's stuff out there. You just got to believe me that, you know, the sooner you can off this house, you know, this is probably 2-3 months ago. And when I went up there, she hasn't even listed with the realtor. And it's like, oh, I got some things I got to get done and this and that. And I'm like, I said, none of that matters. You just have to get this on the market. What I was really seeing is part of the time I stayed, my sister was out of town. She went on a vacation and went to a big resort and, you know, took her, you know, her family and met, you know, a bunch of, you know, her husband's family. And, you know, they rent these big homes and they just have a blowout week, you know, once a year, once or twice a year. Excuse me. So, you know, we ended up stopping and seeing her before we went back. But she let us stay in her house for, you know, a few nights. And we go there and, you know, she's in the process of, I'm just seeing, you know, the world, but she's in the process of remodeling her kitchen. And I mean, she's got like a $5,000 refrigerator freezer, all stainless steel, double door, big thing, and all stainless steel appliances. And I mean, just all the stuff that's just over the top. And, you know, she just bought a brand new, beautiful, I mean, Jeep, you know, I don't know what the Jeep brand is, but it's like the big Jeep, you know, type thing. And they're all, you know, there's five cars in the driveway and they're all within a year or two old. And they got all these brand new cars and taking these, you know, vacations. And, you know, it's just, I'm just seeing, you know, I was getting up in the morning and I was going to Starbucks, getting coffee before we started work. And you know, I was just seeing these women that were just so decked out going to work. And it looked like they were going to a wedding or, you know, something like that. It was just, it's just 7 o'clock in the morning. And I mean, their hair was perfect. Their makeup was perfect. I mean, their outfits, I mean, it looked like something you'd wear out on an evening. You know, it was just like, and I'm thinking they're going to work. What time did they get up, you know, to look the way they're looking? And I mean, just, and these people are all driving these, you know, Mercedes and all these cars. And I'm just looking at, you know, just everybody's out to impress everybody else and, you know, driving these vehicles and, you know, just, I mean, it's just, I just see the deception in the world. And it's like, you know, everybody's like, nothing's going to happen. And when this whole thing crumbles down, you know, nobody's prepared. And even the people in the church that I've talked to, they don't want to hear it. The flesh doesn't want to hear it. And, you know, I've shared with people and, you know, I see where they're caught up in, you know, I had one Christian guy I talked to and he's all caught up in, you know, Nephilim and all this stuff and all these, you know, things, and, or they're caught up in the, you know, the different, you know, Rick Wiles and all these things that are going on. And it's like, man, just put all that aside. You need to get into the Word and just, you know, get into Christ and start, you know, that. None of that stuff matters. You need to get right with the Lord right now. So they're all caught up in these conspiracies and stuff like that. And it's just like, I was just really seeing when you go out into Babylon, And then you come back. It's just so awesome to have this body that's just seeking after the Lord, seeking after truth, just trying to get right, just trying to put the flesh to death, just trying to, just be led of the Lord and just walk in faith. And you just don't see that out there. And it's very hard to, relate to people because you try to talk to the Lord and you try to talk what's going on, and they really don't want to hear it, And the other day I was in Walmart and I was just checking out a few things, and this young lady, just started sharing all the tragedies in her life. Her husband is on drugs and in jail and this and that and all these things going on. And I said, let's pray. And she was willing to pray. She stopped, she bowed her head, and I started praying. And I mean, there was people in line and that, and Trisha's with me, and she said she got all flushed. It was like she wanted to pray, but she was worried about, I mean, she was willing to pray, but she just kind of turned flush, like I was embarrassing her, by praying in the line there. So I don't know. It's just where the world is. That's why it's so awesome to be able to come together and be in one accord and just share the things that the Lord is, doing in our lives, and just, keeping each other accountable and praying for each other. And it's just, I mean, just walking in faith is not easy, but it's so satisfying. When you just look at what's going on in the church and what's going on in the world, I just see there's so much deception out there. It's just amazing to me. So, amen. So, all right, anybody else have a thought on that or a praise report?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
Okay.
where my dad retired here quite a little while ago. They moved into a retirement community, and this retirement community, ironically, is a retirement community started by a grouping of, get this, teachers and church ministers got together and built a retirement community. This was decades ago. So I visit my dad on the weekends, and it's surprising, after I've met quite a few, almost all the residents there, there's quite a few there that are retired church ministers. And in all the time that I've spent with them, I haven't talked about God with them, not one time. Not one time. They approach it, I surmise, when they were church ministers, as if it was a job. And yet here I am, when thanks to God, I get into the Word to find out what's going on. How does this work? How does all this fit together? And the end times. What about it? And I learn enough to explain it, to really understand it, to be able to say something and have some credibility. And with a large group of retired church ministers, haven't talked about it, not one time. And I've also discovered that in trying to figure all this out, it appears to me that a lot of people function based on the mental model that they have with the world and their part in it. They function within that model. This model has been created for them. They've gotten a plethora of tools to function successfully within this current age. One of the tenets is that they believe that the herd has at least right enough that they're not willing to go against it. They really believe that one of the aspects of the herd is safety. That as long as you stay with the herd and wander not too far off the reservation, you'll be in good you'll be in good standing. You'll be in good stead. You'll be reasonably safe. And the Word of God, just wants to completely shred that. But to try to get that far with an individual, I've never been able to really make any kind of an impact where somebody's wanting to really investigate the Word to find out for themselves, okay, is there a thing to this? Because the world just like the parable of the sower, the world just it is able to maintain a schedule and a cadence such that, things that don't wind up front burner for long wind up back burner really fast and off the stove just as quickly. And since the Bible is not relevant in their lives and in any stretch, any of the working of the mental model that they, generated for themselves as to how things work in the world, no traction. And they really do not want their mental model of how things work in the world. They do not want that disturbed.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, there's a retired Baptist minister that lives across from Michael and David. And one day I was over there and I was down the hill hooking up a trailer, and he came over and said, "Hey, can you give me a hand putting a generator in his truck?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, I got actually a couple more coming down. Actually, Michael and David were coming down the hill, so I just went in to take a look at it, and I was talking to him for a little while, and, he's retired, and, he's got all the toys. I mean, he's got a vacation trailer somewhere on a lake. He's got a boat. He's got the, the four-wheel drives. I mean, his whole garage is just full of, half the stuff in his garage he's bought and not opened. He's got all these toys and stuff, and I'm just thinking, and I was trying to get a conversation going about the Lord, and it was the same thing. I couldn't get anything going, and it was the same type of mentality. Well, he's retired now from his job, so now he's just going to have fun, Or so, it could be the mentality, but I was just trying to get something going about the Lord, and I just couldn't get a conversation going with them. But so the safety is with the herd, not with Christ, right, Bart?
Well, the safety in the herd is I took that as described that as their perspective, their mentality as far as the herd with the world. In other words, the general public. I'm lumping the general public in with the retired class, because they're not the only people that I tried to explain things to. As a matter of fact, when I do my talking, it's with everybody else. I never bring this up to the church ministers, because I know that these kinds of things might really it would be like stepping on sacred burial ground. I mean, you do that at great risk. And I have not spent enough time with them to find out what the approach is. But I just find it so ironic that, so many of them are retired, and in, even a table conversation, banter, God never comes up. I just find that really ironic. One or two I've spent a little more time with never gets brought up. And it could be because their exposure with the world at large is such that they know the area where in which it's likely to be brought up, they know the areas where it's probably not a great idea, because in an outside setting, information usually does not have traction unless it's invited. And when people go to church, that's an assumption that any kind of religious or biblical input is construed to be certainly invited, whereas out in the general public and for the retired community, since you don't know everybody, where their standing is, just to maintain a social calm, it's just never brought up. And I can detect from at least one that they are really set in what they believe.
Right.
You could just somehow pick that up, that, oh boy, you can't be talking about anything of a variation that they've never heard of without, you know, incurring a reaction. And that'll tell you that, no, there's no invitation extended to talk about something that they've perhaps never heard before. And that would really, really upset their religious model.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just the deception is, I mean, if you believe that you're, you know, once saved, always saved, then there's nothing you have to do, you know. If you believe you're just going to fly away and you're not going to have to go through any tribulation, I mean, you're on easy street. And, you know, if you believe you're just a sinner, you're always going to be a sinner, and, you know, you're saved by grace. And, I mean, all these doctrines out there, or even the Catholics, I mean, they were sprinkled or whatever it was, and they're all going to heaven no matter what. And, you know, there's no fear of the Lord. There's no, there's nothing there. They just, I met a guy and I won't go into a lot of detail, but what I realized is I met a guy that was proclaiming, you know, as a Christian and all this. And he had a mantra where he had, you know, he would quote the scripture. And the only reason I knew it is he did it twice. And, you know, he would quote some scriptures, and he would just, you know, he had this little, you know, it was just like a thing. He, you know, like how holy he was because he can quote these scriptures and this. But when he did it the second time and it was identical, I knew that there was an issue there. And it was like, man, he's just got this little mantra that he quotes to make him sound so holy. And, you know, but there was no fruit there. So, I don't know. It's kind of sad.
Plus the idea of this, that they all fly away and not having to experience the stress, they believe that. I mean, they believe that that's what's going to happen.
So when you try to talk about end times, they don't want to have it. They're not interested. When you talk about, you know, a shaking coming or the economy collapsing and all that, they don't believe it. You know, they may believe we're in end times, but they believe that they're going to be out of here and they're not going to see any wrath or whatever it is. So when you start talking about that stuff, most of the time it just wigs out their flesh. They don't want to think about it, so it's easier to think about they're just going to fly away, and you know, that makes their flesh feel comforted. And you know, so
well, plus it plus it alleviates them of homework.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be like the teacher saying, okay, you, okay, you can forget about homework this year. No homework, period. You know, boy, how great would that be? Now, some guy comes along, no. You have homework to do. Boy, that would that would kind of throw the student a curve.
Right. So I don't know. That's why God is, you know, that's why the judgment's coming. It's for the church. It's not for the world. It's for the complacency. It's for the deceived as far as that. So, amen.
Yep.
All right. Anybody have any thoughts on that or any praise reports?
I got a little. Go ahead, David.
No, wait, Michael, go ahead.
No, I insist. You go ahead.
Well, you won't put it that way. I was just thinking, I've seen it both ways. I've seen a pastor that's a Lutheran, retired, a couple of them actually, and I see them stick with what they know, with what they've taught, and they're not going to deviate from that. They feel comfortable with that environment. They know that, and they're not going to venture outside of that because that's getting in the deep waters, right? They don't get into the deep water because they didn't venture in that the whole time they were teaching. They're not going to do it now because that's going to take them someplace where maybe they weren't teaching something right. You know, I see that. I actually had a pastor, and I was talking to him about healing because he had some kind of leukemia or something, I don't know, something like that. And I had mentioned, well, how Christ died for our healing. You know, we could receive that through faith. I said, we just pray, and we can go for these because that's in the scriptures. And I said, that's what salvation is, soteria. And I says, you know, you just look at the Greek, and he says, it'll show that. He says, well, I know what the Greek says, and it doesn't say that. Said, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry, but yeah, I think it does. And he says, you trying to tell me I've been teaching people wrong all my years? And I said, I wasn't trying to go there. I wasn't trying to bring up an argument, but I just said, no, I said, this is what I'm saying. Be unto you according to your faith. You know, because I wasn't going to let him draw me into something because he was getting kind of huffy. And I thought, no. You know, I could see that religious spirit coming out of him. And that kind of, you know, surprised me, actually. I didn't expect to see that raise right up, but it sure came out. And that was one circumstance. But then there was another time, I was just, I thought I'd bring my Bible with me. I was getting my car fixed at some place. So, and at the time, I was using a Holman, what was that? Oh, I can't think of how it's pronounced. It's anyways, Holman Christian Standards, that sound right? Anyways, Holman Christian Standard Bible. So it's a little easier reader book. And I was just kind of, at the time, just kind of reading through it, and then this older gentleman was sitting there, and he was kind of watching me. We started striking up a conversation, and this guy, I don't know, he probably looked like he was like 85 or so, closer to 90. And he turned out to be a minister at one time, or a pastor. And he was just a lovely guy. And we started talking about Bible. He says, well, yeah, my father used to read that style of Bible. He says, he told me what he used to read, and he enjoyed that instead. But he was really just, we had a nice little spiritual conversation about different things and Bibles and different topics. And he was just... He says, well, and when I got ready to leave because I had to go, he says, well, I said, thanks for, you know, everything sharing with me and telling me and talking to me, because at the time I just needed somebody to talk to like that. He says, no, I was totally blessed by this. I really was. I said, I was just so thankful that we had got together and talked. So this guy was, you know, the real deal, and he's 85, 90. So even though he was a pastor and had been all his life and retired, the guy, you could tell, was really into the Lord. He was sincerely had a heart for God, as opposed to like, I can't think what your name was earlier talking about. I've seen that where it was like a job. And now that their job's over, I'm retired, hey, I moved on to something else. You know, if we talk about God, well, we stay within what I know, and we'll be fine, and you know, because that's where I'm going to take it, and I'm not going to go any farther. You know, they don't go out far, they don't venture outside of that, because I think they're afraid that what if they aren't right, and what if all these years they said something that wasn't right, then they have to own up to that. So they're not going to go there.
Yeah, I think that's where that spirit guide comes in. And who knows, that guy that you're talking to might have been spirit-filled and walking in the truth and didn't have a religious spirit. And, you know, he was he had a, you know, manifestation of Christ on him. You don't know.
That was before I even had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I just had that desire to know, desire to learn, reading, you know, searching truth. And that guy was right on path, but he was older, a gentleman, and had the ability to sit back and just, you know, mentor a little bit and be easygoing, and that was just lovely, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I've hadn't much considered how much of a part their history and what they've taught might have a role to play in their posture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if they have any inkling that they think they might have been wrong, but
oh,
they
man.
Didn't, they, you know,
and having, maybe, having to answer for that.
Or maybe didn't give out the full truth because they didn't seek it themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the what I read, you know, what the word says about leading my little ones astray, it puts the fear of the Lord in me. And, you know, so it's you're held accountable. So I don't know. Michael, here, were you going to say something?
Well, I was just going to relate a couple of items that happened to me early on in my Christian walk. One of them was that I went into this Lutheran church, and I was actually going in there to invite the man over to, the preacher over to a little gathering we had of preachers. And he was coming down the hall with a cane, and he was bent double. He was in a lot of pain. And, of course, at that time, I was street ministering, you know, going out and seeing a lot of healings and things on the streets. And I just went right up to him, and I said, I forget the guy's name, but I asked him, I said, don't you believe that God heals? Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, why don't you let me pray for you? And I believe God's going to straighten your back up, because at that time, man, I could, for some reason, God had placed on me, I don't know how to say it other than just go ahead and say it. I could pray for somebody with a bad back and they'd get healed. I mean, I had the faith to believe that. And it was just an awesome thing. And he said, no. He said, I'm fine. He said, just leave me alone. I said, man, don't you believe God heals? You told me God heals. I said, all we got to do is pray and believe that you're going to be healed and you'll be healed. Hey, boy, he got real indignant with me and more or less just told me to leave this church. I said, okay, brother, I just really wanted to come invite you over to a coffee, but all right. Another instance was that it was in a Baptist church. It was in the first church that I was in. I was saved in a large Baptist church in the town that I was that I lived in. And I had had a vision of that church, of the Holy Spirit coming in the church and just filling everybody up with the Holy Spirit. And at the time, I had just started street ministering and going with this other guy that was teaching me about God's healing power and how to administer it, you know, and how to have faith and all of that kind of thing and how to administer healing and deliverance and all of that stuff. And boy, and I was soaking it up like a sponge. And after I had that vision, I went to the pastor. He wasn't much older than I was, maybe a year or two older. Might have been the same age. I don't even remember. And very charismatic kind of guy. And he wasn't a proud guy. I wouldn't say. But I told him about the dream that I had, or the vision that I had about the church being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I told him about some of the healings we'd seen on the streets and some of the deliverances, and boy, just went through there a litany of things, you know, and just his, you know, and he was listening. To his credit, he was listening. And then when I got through, I said, is this somewhere that you might be taking this church, you know, talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit? And he said, Michael, he said, I believe everything you've told me is the truth. He said, but that's just not my ministry, talking about the Holy Spirit. And that just grieved my heart so when he said that to me. And I didn't say anything. I said, well, I believe the Lord has called me to another to another church. And anyway, to make a long story short, I left that church and went to another church and was spirit-filled and all of that. And years later, sometime later, I don't remember how long it was, I heard about this preacher. His daughter had married a spirit-filled man, and he had gone over to a meeting over there, and he had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit and tried to bring it back to the Baptist church that he was pastoring, and they kicked him out. But I thought that was such a blessing when I heard that, you know, to think that at least he was open to it once he saw it and once he understood about it, that he was open to the Holy Spirit, and those religious spirits in that church kicked him out. But anyway, that's the little testimony that I have. There's a lot more about preachers, but those two, they were mostly prominent.
All right, anybody else have a testimony? Hey, Michael, welcome back.
Hope you heard the story already.
No, I haven't. I haven't. I just Michael told me you're going to be on, so I'd love to hear the story. Michael, for some reason we're not hearing you. Is your phone on mute?
Okay, how about now?
Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, well, I said Michael Montana took another lap around Bonehead Mountain, I think. You know, my whole ambition, I had to really sort out my heart, my desire to go to Latin America. I have my dearest friend in the Lord was down there, and his family and brethren down there, and they were all wanting me to come and wanting me to visit, and you know, and all the opportunities that were there and this and that. And you know, I think I pretty much convinced myself that this is what I was supposed to do, and I ended up you know, heading for Panama. And I got on this airplane, and I, you know, 12 hours of you know, both with waiting and going, and in between at an airport, you have to wait sometimes for the plane. And I have never done that, going internationally anywhere, really. And so I got there after 12 hours, you know, and I'm going through this long, they're a little different down there. Some of these countries, I'm sure some of you know, you've probably been to some countries that are a little less civilized than us, but I would have to say compared to what I'm used to in this nation, these guys were somewhat like barbarians, the officials down there. But anyway, they were going through this long line, and they took fingerprints and did all this stuff. And I went over waiting for my luggage, and they called me back over there. They said, come here. And they called me back over. And they took me in a room, and they said, and I had no idea that something like this would ever come up. But from my past life, I had an encounter with the police. And it was, you know, one time in my whole life, and it, long story, but it, anyway, and they said, you can't come into Panama, have any record. And, I said, oh, wait a minute, this is, you know, I tried to talk, and they put me in a concrete room with a bunch of people that didn't speak anything but Spanish for 12 hours sitting in a chair. And, when I wanted to drink something, they pointed at I was thirsty, very thirsty. They pointed at the sink in the public bathroom, and it was not a very nice place to drink. But, you know, it was just very uncivilized. And they put me back on a plane and headed me back. And I'm sitting here going, Lord, what was that all about? I didn't even get to set my feet on Panamanian soil. And here I am headed back to the United States. What's going on? And I was just totally in. And both the tiredness, because now it had been, you know, over 24 hours that I'd been awake pretty much. And I just getting a little frazzled and, you know, spent money, and my friends were supposed to meet me at the airport and all this stuff, you know. No phone call, no nothing. And this black woman comes up that she's a stewardess. She points a finger at me and says, doesn't know me from Adam, doesn't know that I'm a believer, and she says, the Lord has a purpose in this, and walks off. I mean, I'm just stunned. Me, this black stewardess just basically gave me a prophecy, spoke and says, the Lord has purpose in this. And I was sitting there, and I opened up my Bible, and I looked down at the page, and it said, all things are working together for good to them that love God and to those that are the called according to his purpose. And I thought, Lord. And anyway, I came back to a long story. I finally made it back. It was an ordeal, but I did get back, and I ended up, they put me on standby, and they sent me to the wrong city because there was nothing coming to the city I live in. So, but there was a brother I knew there, and he came and picked me up. And, you know, it's the peace of the Lord has been with me since I've been back here, and I don't know what to say except that I think that the Lord was basically saying to me, when you were a child, Peter, you went where you would. But when you're older, another's going to gird you and take you where you would not. And I think it's past the time when I can. I got a great idea. I'm going to go somewhere, especially, you know, I'm going to ship, go across the world and hang out there for a while, you know. And I just feel a bit chastened right now, and I realize that I'm. Me and Peter have a lot in common, and I feel like I've got chastened by the Lord a bit, you know, and. I've had some exhortations in the spirit, and I feel like I need to thank you, brethren, for praying for me, and repent to you for being a bonehead. But God's in his mercy. I think I have a sense that he brought me back. He didn't want me down there now. I believe that with all my heart. He didn't want me there now. He wanted me back here where I started.
Amen, Michael. I with all us other boneheads, you know. Like we're all boneheads at times, but awesome.
Hey, Mike, if I give you my phone number, can you text me the exit that you found off of Bonehead Mountain?
Brother, exit. I feel like I've worn a trail around that hill. I still haven't had to get on that mountain.
then you're the one I need to talk to.
That is funny, brother, because you ask my wife, and she'll tell you whether I've gotten off that hill yet.
I suspect the path around Bonehead Mountain is pretty wide and pretty worn down.
Yeah, quite a few of those footprints are mine. You know, speaking about a trip where afterward surmise that this is kind of like a chastening or a warning. I recall a story, a church story, where a certain minister decided to take a vacation. And I can't remember if he took his family with him or not. I don't recall that aspect of the story, but this church minister, he had told the congregation, okay, I'm going to take this vacation, and it's, you know, he told the congregation what the date was that he was going to take off, and he had bought a plane ticket, and some of the members of the congregation got dreams, and one person got a dream that I can't remember how the dream went, but to compress the story, they told the church minister, this person told the church minister, hey, I just had a dream, and basically warning him, don't go. Now, I can't remember if the dream was that the plane had crashed. Another individual had a dream. Basically the same thing, warning the church minister, this is not going to be a good move. And I can't remember if the dream was that the plane had crashed or not. And then a third, a little while later, before he was to go on vacation, a third person, same thing, told him, do not go, very clearly. And a little while later, the church minister went ahead with the vacation plans, got on the plane took off, and it crashed. And that was the story.
Well, that's where the flesh comes in before, the warnings of God, being led by the flesh or being led by the Spirit. And he had three warnings.
Yeah, yeah.
His flesh wanted to take that vacation, so.
And the warnings, the way the story was related, that the warnings were very, very clear.
It's too late in the hour for all of us, and this is where I feel like I've been chastened by the Lord. We can't afford to make a plan, Many are the devices of a man's heart, but the counsel of God shall stand. And in a time when did you hear about the thing that happened in Tunisia or somewhere over there in Africa or wherever it is? Did you hear that? The terrorist thing?
I got parts of it. I didn't dive into to get the full story, but...
Yeah. Just basically that the Arabs or whatever attacked and slaughtered people on a beach while they were just sunning their hindquarters on a beach somewhere. And, it's such a critical hour. It's an hour where there's going to be such madness going on all over the world. There already is, but it's just going to increase and increase. And we can't afford to make our own ideas. We've got to be led by the Spirit. And that's where I'm chasing. It's like the Lord says, better than that. You've got to have a clear word before you go. I mean, here I am separated from my wife by 5,000 miles or something. And you can't, any kind of crisis. Then what, walk back maybe? It's really got to be led by the Spirit. And I just realized that I knew better than to be quite so... That liberty was not a liberty of the Spirit.
Well, I think that's a good warning for us all. I mean, we need to take heed to that, and really, in just everything we do, is just we got to be led of the Lord, and just make sure that the Lord is in it. Especially if we're taking a major trip or something like that. I've done that before. It's just trying to, throw out fleeces or, trying to be led of the Lord and in different trips. And this last one to Ohio, I knew that he wanted me to go up there and deal with this whole situation. And I was seeking him. I was, he told me if I went up there and did that, he would sell the house. And what I didn't know is that he was going to, while I was up there, the realtor that he told me to hire turned out to be the one that was going to finance the person that was interested in the house. And but it was all the Lord. But I think that is a great warning for us all. Is just in these days, we need to really just be seeking the Lord in anything that we do. You agree with that, Michael?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
I just absolutely believe that. I had my emotions get all tangled up in it because my dear friend was down there and they were, come down, brother. We just want you to show this. You love this place down here. And there was part of me that was just going, what would I do if I never did get to see these brothers again? And if I never, but if I really walk with God and they do, we'll see each other again. But it's more than that. It's we can't make our own ideas right now. And I believe what you said, Tim, we've got to acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. And we don't want to go. We want to be sent if we go somewhere.
Amen. Because I'm really seeing how the emotions get us into trouble. The emotions is our flesh. And, we get pulled in by friends, by family, by... situations in our emotions. And, the emotions can really, just pull you away from the Spirit. And I just went through it. My son is is really in an awesome place, trying to be led of the Lord. And, you know, he's really seeing where he's been led of his emotions, he's been led of his flesh, he's been led of, you know, and he's realizing it. He's kind of, you know, getting spanked for it. But he's realizing where he's got, you know, he's had idols in his life, and those idols is what, you know, swayed his emotions and swayed his decisions. And, you know, he was just like being driven, and it was really just his flesh the whole time. And he's, you know, he's paying the consequence of it, but the, you know, the Lord is just, I mean, he's so merciful on us, you know. But, you know, once we see it, you know, it's just a lesson like you went through. I mean, he's in a lesson right now where he made a commitment to do something. He knew that it was his flesh, and I was going to go through with that commitment. And, you know, and he's been in a little bit of a trial because of it. But it's, you know, but the Lord is just, you know, he's teaching us all lessons. But I'm just seeing how the emotions, even I've seen emotions when somebody tells you a story and you get pulled into those emotions and you hear that story and you may, you know, cop a decision about somebody or, you know, something or that could be skewed in that story, but your emotions get tied in there and you get swayed by your emotions. And so the flesh wants its way, and it uses the emotions to get its way. And so it's just, I think it's a great, you know, great lesson. You know, just, we got to be very careful, you know, when we get our emotions involved. Amen. Well, I guess now you got a passport, right, Michael? Did you have a passport before? Or did you have to go out and get a passport to take this trip?
Yeah, I think you have to have a passport to get to Panama. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, there might be another reason behind it, you know? I mean, as far as that, so. But, amen. All right, who else has got a testimony or a bonehead walk around the mountain report they'd like to share?
Well, if you want a bonehead story.
Okay.
The I've been struggling now for the past 10 years. When right after I got healed in my feet, a couple things that happened that's kind of hard for me to narrowly define. Maybe a little both of how I'm being spanked. At the time, right afterwards, I remembered one of the Bible studies had to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as a confession, that scared me. I don't understand. I've not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know that a portion of God's Spirit that I've been granted because, you know, I can read the Bible. The Bible makes sense. How it reads, I can follow it. I totally get it. But I've never spoken in tongues. I had no idea. And I thought that along with that, God would just take over like God took over Saul. And you might think that after God had healed my feet, and that was an absolute, absolute miracle on command. That's probably the most rare of miracles to experience, and then to experience it personally, and to experience it personally on yourself is just positively extraordinary. I mean, it is a singular experience that God heals you literally on command. Absolute miracle. That with that kind of salvation, that a week or two later, to hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the thing that came to my mind when I heard that is, oh my, is there another baptism I have to go through? Is this where God takes over? This is where my will is takes its exit, and I wind up going however the Lord leads me. So, truth be told, I balked. And this may sound ironic, but even after having God shown me His power, and to have one of His own balk at the idea of him leading an individual, and that's me. So, I've got some miles on Bonehead Mountain. I'm going to be starting to consider paving part of that Bonehead Mountain Trail sometime, but hopefully I can get off of it. I'll need some help to do that. And also at the same time, my parents who had just retired, and my mom, when she was alive in particular, was starting to really feel the effects of lupus take a toll that would really limit her mobility, where she started to see on the horizon not just limitations as far as movement, but in terms of being able to, to take care of herself by herself. Along with that, my dad, who seems to operate best when he's in the company of people, doesn't tend to really like spending time, alone, so to speak. And I kind of wondered, at a time when they gave me a car, if I don't want to construe that was part of an agenda, but in terms of a coincident move, because they're going to move to this retirement community, and they had one too many cars to almost, and I know that they didn't mean to do this, but to almost view it as leverage, such that as they would age, that they would not. And my mom actually, one time when I didn't spend any time with them on a particular weekend, I could tell during one conversation, I could just, without saying it, I could just pick it up that how, and like I said, I visit my dad at the retirement community where he lives, and you wouldn't believe how few the kids of these retired folks see their parents. There's at least 3/4 of the residents there that have kids. And I haven't seen a one of them. Of 3/4 of the residents there, haven't seen a one. And I visited my dad a lot, and they're never there. And I can't help but wonder, first of all, the fact that I had balked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After God had so rescued me of an affliction, and the way that He did it, and for accepting something from my parents that might later be viewed in hindsight, not to put the blame on them, but to feel somewhat of a debt owed, that in the process of spending so much time with them, took time away from what could have been spent, at least partially, studying the Bible, which is what I really want to do, because, spending time with my parents was pretty much like dead time. And I view my entire past 10 years as partially squandered.
Right. But the thing is, you can't change the past. You know, it is what it is, and you just need to move forward.
Exactly. And so when a couple of weeks ago when Dave was talking about the use of lots. I think it was had narrated one of the chapters in David's book, and that part having to do with lots. And so I remember one day I had utilized that, and what I did at first, because I thought I had the reason that I was being spanked was because of the hard feelings that I had for my bosses where I used to work. And so I took out the recorders, and I asked God, okay, is it because of this supervisor? I tossed the quarters and I got, I think, one heads and two tails, and there's another supervisor that I probably would have more hard feelings for than the other one. Wound up three tails, and then on a whim I thought, okay, how about the hard feelings that I have for my parents because of all the time that they, you know, wanted from me when I wanted to do other things, and I got up three heads. And I took that I had so repressed what I felt in regards to my parents that I needed to, and you know, when I do this, when I go to visit my dad now, you know, up until now, I try to forgive him. It's such a squandering of time, and Dad has absolutely no inclination to learn about God, the Bible, none whatsoever. Even when I talk with other people, when I'm having lunch or dinner with them, they'll make a comment about this, you know, the world, the government, or finance, you know, something, and then I'll try to inject the Bible into it. And when I do, I'm pretty successful at least talking about it for a little while, and my dad, who's sitting next to me, hears all of it. And after all this time, I can tell you that he believes none of it applies to him.
Right.
But still, all this time of squandering and of repress, you know, like for example, I would go over and I'd say to myself all the time, this is not going to work.
Well, what are you trying to do? What's your agenda? As far as
what do you mean?
When you say it's not going to work, what's your agenda? You're trying to get him to see what you see. You're trying to get him to, you know, understand the word.
No. This is not going to work. When I view the time that I spend with him as a window of time, a block of time, and I view blocks of time as for example, what Paul talks about redeeming the time. Okay, that the time with my dad is just simply not going to be redeemed because he's not going to listen to it. It won't be redeemed for him. Maybe for somebody else that I can try to relate what I've gathered.
Right. Well, let's go back.
Which is,
when you say
sure.
When you say you balked on the Holy Spirit, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I froze up. I froze up and I didn't pursue it. And I viewed this as something that created fear, and I didn't pursue it.
Okay.
And now that I've, you know, I've listened to you folks, and I've come to understand that, if I'm wanting to pursue God and get closer, okay, that you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is part of the necessary growth and learning process.
Right. But that's something that you receive by faith, and there could be a few things that, you know, that may be blocking, you know, as far as the manifestation of tongues. But I don't think it's because you spent time with your dad or anything like that. I mean, we can, you know, I mean, have you been prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit?
No.
Okay. All right.
Not yet.
Brother Tim?
Yes. Go ahead, Michael.
Who's the dear brother that's speaking? What's your name, dear brother?
It's Bart.
This is Bart.
What?
Okay. Bart?
Bart.
I just want to... I feel inspired in my spirit to share something with you. I really believe in my heart this is a prophetic word to you. Personally, I feel this really strong. I wouldn't say it otherwise, but there's two verses that come to me. First, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus, Paul says. And he says, as many as are perfect or mature will be thus minded. And I believe that God wants you to don't look back. And the Lord, I believe he wants to set a promise before you right now. I believe this with all my heart, that this is from the Lord's heart, that he will restore the year that the locust and the cankerworm has already devoured. He'll restore everything that's been wasted, everything that's passed. If you will, by faith, turn to him with all of your heart, he will restore the years. He will restore the time that's already gone, and he'll multiply blessing in your life if you'll turn to him with all of your heart and to go forward and don't be hindered by what's behind. Go forward. I really believe that with all my heart, Brother Bart.
Michael, thank you very, very much, and I will act on that immediately.
Amen. Yeah, because he just wants us to just try to seek him the best we know how, and he wants us to put away the world, put away the distractions. He doesn't want you to stop seeing your dad, but, you know, just you need to be led of him. And just ask him if there's anybody that you need to forgive. I mean, he'll show you. I mean, when I was seeking him, it was like a slideshow. And you just have to have a willingness to forgive. And once you forgive, it's done. And the enemy, you know, tries to bring us into condemnation and tries to get us to look at the past or look at us or what we did and all that. And you got to keep. The path is narrow and it's straight ahead, and you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You got to stay in the Word, and just try to, you know, be led to him the best you can, and he's gonna guide you. And when he shows you stuff, you know, that you need to, you know, repent for, or, you know, or forgive, or things that, you know, things that are stumbling blocks, he just expects you to, you know, to just move forward, move them out of your way, and just walk in faith the best you can. And, you know, this is it's a progression. It's just moving forward. But the enemy always tries to get us to look back. And you just can't do that, because that's when you lose focus on the goal, you know. So if you haven't been prayed for, we can pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. And,
Oh, please do.
Okay. So, Father, right now, you know Bart's heart, Lord, and, you know, he wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, Lord, we just ask you, just fill him fresh with your Spirit, Lord. And, Father, we just ask you that he just receives the Holy Spirit by faith and with the utterance of speaking in tongues. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And if there's any hindrance there in his life, that you would just show him. But we're believing by faith that he is baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, Bart, you receive the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. And, thank you, Father. Thank you, Tim.
And that, you know, Bart, just start praising the Lord, you know, just in your quiet time, just start praising him. And it might start with just a word, you know, and then, you know, sometimes it'll just start slowly and build. Anybody else have a, you know, testimony on that as far as receiving the Holy Spirit?
Just one more scripture, Tim. In Luke 11, it says this, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, and to him that knocks the door shall be opened. But which of you, if you were a father, would have a son come to him and ask for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would you give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? And you have that's a promise that you ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened. If you ask God for a bread, he's not going to give you a stone. And you're asking according to his will. It says if we ask anything according to the will of God, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petition we've asked of him. And when we're asking that we could be filled with the Holy Ghost so that we could be conformed to the image of Christ, sanctified and led by the Holy Spirit of God, that is absolutely the heart of God and in his will for you, dear brother.
Thank you. That is so good to hear. Even though I know it and I've heard it and I've read it, but to hear it again, it's comforting.
You just got to hang on to it, because that's a promise. Amen.
Amen.
It's nothing you have to work for. It's something you received. So don't feel like it's going to be something that you have to feel in particular. All right. When you speak in tongues, it's just going to be a natural occurrence, just like you're speaking with your normal language. And you can also speak in a tongue language also. The difference is when you're speaking with your tongue, you haven't got a clue of what you're saying. You can maybe interject your feelings and thoughts while you're doing it, like you want to, you know, lift something up in prayer, so you use tongues along with it, with your mind. But you have control in the tongue. You have total control on it. There's a good series to listen to on this. Rex Verone, he's got something that's called The Holy Spirit With Us and In Us. He talks a lot about receiving the Holy Spirit and why it's so scriptural. He also talks about his experiences. And we can talk about ours. Like for me, for instance, when I first had a fellow that was here pray over me for receiving tongues. Yeah, I too, like you. I was nervous. You know, what do I do? How do I, you know, how does this work? You know, you're kind of not really sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, discovered.
All right, I muted her.
And so, you just kind of, I guess, like Tim was saying, you had your little quiet time. So when you pull away from us, you're gonna have some time away. And I took a few minutes just to let my tongue just kind of. Whatever would come out, you know, just whatever sound. And all of a sudden, a few more words, and all of a sudden I'm spitting out a few more things, and it just all of a sudden I realize, you know, this is definitely not, this is different. This isn't really taking out a language. So I called the guy back, and I said, does this sound like tongues to you? And I let it come out, and he said, that's tongues. And we praise the Lord, you know, and thank God. And so... it's just, so it's not something that's a big deal, but when you receive it, it kind of confirms to you that, hey, this is a real thing. This is a real deal. It works. You know? But it's also a benefit from the Lord that you get to pray in an angelic language now for things that you don't know what to pray for, but the Lord wants to pray for in your life and for others, which is really a powerful thing. And you can... because you're not taking part of the process, it's just rolling out of you, and you're doing the work for, you're working, I guess, with the Lord in a sense. It's really nice. It's a kind of easy work. But at the same time, it's not like it's saying that, oh, you stepped over the line either. Because even though you've been given the benefit and of the kingdom and the Holy Spirit's coming in you and with you, we have to still walk the walk. We still have to talk. We still have to work our own salvation in fear and trembling. you know, you're going to be pressing in more. You'll be able to press in more for these things. And so, and in the same time, like Tim was talking, you know, there's something in there that maybe in your life you feel like that's, you know, something just ain't right here. You know, we can come to us, talk to us, call us individually. We'll pray over it, talk about it. Like for me, one of the things that held me up, why I couldn't receive comms the first few times we tried, I had touched an Ouija board, and that was an occultic thing when I was young. And I had this, whatever, a demonic occult spirit on me that wouldn't let me pray in tongues. We cast it off. I renounced the Ouija board. That's what was blocking me at the time. But I had no clue those things could do that. You know? So, yeah, there might be things in our past still. So I'm trying to tell you this, too. Maybe search your past. Think about, well, maybe there's something I need to talk about, you know, in case you feel like there's something that's not working. We can work through this, I'm saying. We can figure out what it is and get you through whatever it is we need to have in case there is a problem blocking you, too. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. That's really good to know.
Yeah, as far as with Trish and I mean, I got prayed for tons and... I started speaking in tongues pretty quick, and but as far as with Trish, I mean, it was, she didn't even get prayed for tongues. She just come to the Lord, and she was just down in the Word, just praying to the Lord, and all of a sudden this tongue started coming out. We didn't even know what it was. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's going on? She says, I don't know. I think it's the Lord. And so we had to actually call some friends because we didn't even know what tongues were, but she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Lord just gave her that gift. And we called some friends up and said, you know, we're not sure, but we think it's the Lord. And she says, oh yeah, that's just tongues. And does it feel like you're kind of disconnected? Your mouth is just kind of, you know, doing its own thing from your mind and that. She's, yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's just tongues. It's, okay, everything's cool then. So, it's a little bit different for everybody, you know, as far as that. So, but that was just kind of our experience. Michael Hare, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to ask Bart a question. Do you understand why God gives us the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Okay.
Well, the full reason, no. Now, part of the reason is to help to understand God's word. Now, that part I've experienced. But beyond that, I couldn't tell you because I don't know.
Okay. The baptism in the Holy Spirit gives you the overcoming power from God the Father to defeat the sin in your life, okay, to overcome sin, to overcome those things that have beset your walk, that have put you on that bonehead mountain, because he will speak to you, and he will teach you, and he will guide you, and he will lead you where you need to go. And that's just it in a kind of a peanut shell. But that's the greatest part of it right there. It's the overcoming power from God the Father to defeat the enemy. And if you don't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it becomes a whole lot harder to walk this narrow walk that he's given us to walk. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the overcoming power from God the Father to do that, and he helps you to do that. In fact, he'll if you have faith, he'll give you the faith. If you don't have faith, he'll give it to you. But he gives everybody a smidgen of faith to believe. And then once you start understanding what that faith is, and receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit is completely by faith. It's a gift from God. All you have to do now is believe what Tim prayed earlier has happened. And it will happen. And it's already happened. And all you have to do is reach, grab it, and hang on to it. Because you have been baptized into the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about tongues. Tongues David was talking about, is to pray in your spirit, the Spirit of God that's in you, those things that you don't know what to pray about. In other words, God's going to pray through you, through His Spirit, in that language that you don't understand, so that you don't mess it up with your personal understanding, so that God can get this prayer through in the right way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And also, when you're in your quiet time, in your prayer time, in your prayer closet, and you just speak in tongues, it also builds up your personal, it edifies your personal spirit with bukus of faith. I mean, it just lifts you up in faith, and you build that faith mechanism inside of you, in your spirit, when you do that. Every time that you pray in tongues for a period of time, it builds you. John G. Lake, I don't know if you ever knew who he was, but he was a...
Yeah, I do, yes.
Okay, he was a great healing evangelist, and somebody asked him one time, he said, what is the power of your ministry? And of course, he said, well, it's God. But he said, the biggest thing is I pray in tongues long periods of times, and that edifies me. It builds my faith up to where I can believe that when I pray for somebody, it's going to happen. And that's what it does. It edifies your personal, the spirit in you to believe what God promises have told you about. So it's kind of a myriad of things that God does when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is basically the most important thing, I guess, if there is an important thing, is it gives you the power over the enemy. It's a whole lot easier with the Holy Spirit than it is without him. You read about Baptist missionaries going over into some of these places and getting sent back whipped, thrashed, and upset. That's because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you see other people, other missionaries going over there who are filled with the Holy Spirit that have success, you know. And the reason is because the baptism of the Holy Spirit gives them that overcoming power. And they're listening to the Holy Spirit tell them what to do and what to say at all times. And that's essential if you're a missionary. That's very essential. That's the only thing that's going to get you through as a missionary is listening to the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a capsule thing, but David was talking about, there's a three-part series. I believe it's three-part, maybe longer than that. I think it's three parts, 3 hours long, by Rex Verone on the site. It's called, what's the name of it, David?
The Holy Spirit With Us and In Us by Rex Verone. And yep, it's a three-part series.
Yeah. And it's very, Rex lays it out real well.
Okay.
Well, I hope that helps you a little bit.
It does. Greatly.
Awesome. Yeah, what Michael said, just, you know, John G. Lake praying long and, you know, as far as in the spirit, man, that, I don't know if anybody else runs into this, but there's times where I'm just going to, you know, if I'm mowing the lawn or driving or something like that. I mean, there was one time when I was heading up to Ohio, not this trip, but another trip, I prayed in the spirit most of the way, and it was just awesome. And it seems like after you pray in the spirit for 20 or 30 minutes, you kind of break through. But there's other times I decide I'm just going to pray in the spirit, and the enemy just brings distractions. Sometimes when I just go out shopping, I'm just going to walk through the store and pray through the spirit. And, you know, I'll probably pray for 10 minutes. I'll get distracted on something. All of a sudden I'll realize I'm not praying in the spirit, and I'll start again, and then I'm distracted again. I realize I'm not praying. It's like this battle just to stay praying in the spirit. But I don't know, there's times I wake up in the middle of the night, I can pray, you know, for for a long time, but other times when I'm determined to pray or I feel I need to pray, for some reason I just get distractions from all over the place. And I just know it's the enemy doesn't want me praying in the spirit. So I don't know if anybody else runs into that.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of scriptures that come to me. One of them is in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. In that same chapter, it says, I will therefore pray with my understanding, and I will pray with my spirit, and I will sing with my understanding, and I will sing with my spirit. In Jude, it says, and you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then in Romans 8, when he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit and makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I think the most incredible thing is that, you know, bypassing the carnal mind, which is a total hindrance, the Holy Spirit can intercede through us and pray the will of God for others, for ourselves, and we don't even know necessarily what's going on. Sometimes the burden of the Lord will come upon us, and we'll pray and pray with groanings and with words that we know not, even many different languages sometimes, and speaking, and then the burden is lifted, and you know that you've broken through with God, or like Tim said, or Michael, being edified, praying in the Spirit. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself.
Yeah, that's good. I was always wondering, because there's a few places in the scriptures where, I think when Christ was on the cross, and, you know, Eli, Eli, you know, something, but, you know, then it says, and it is interpreted. I see a few places in the Word where it says, it is interpreted this, and I'm just wondering, is it interpreted because Christ was speaking in tongues, or why are they interpreting that and they don't interpret anything else he spoke about as far as in the Word? Anybody get any feedback on that?
I'm not. Are you talking about the gift of tongues, or are you talking about personal tongues? There's two different varieties. There's two varieties of tongues. There's the gift of tongues that goes along with the gift of interpretation of tongues that God uses as prophecy for the church. And then there is the tongues that God gives you personally for your own personal language. That is for your edification, as Michael was talking about. Now, that needs to be clarified too. You understand the 12 gifts of the Spirit. I believe it's 12. Is it 12 or 9?
I think it was 12. Oh, that's good. I think it's 12. Maybe
yeah.
It's 9.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Thanks for clearing that up there for me, David. But the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues is part of the gifts of the Spirit. But being baptized in the Spirit, you get a personal angelic language that God gives you, and it could be a known language, or it could not be a known. Doesn't have to be a known language. But it's a language that God has given you. And just like David was talking about earlier, it can change from time to time. My language has changed I don't know how many times. And that's up to the Holy Spirit. But anyway, there's two different types of tongues. You know, the most of the church, most of Christianity believes there's only one type of tongue, but there's actually two. There's your personal language, and then there's the gift of tongues. And that's when it's a prophecy with the interpretation of tongues in the body of Christ for God to speak to his people. Does that make sense, Bart?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Has anybody else got anything they'd like to add to that?
One more comment, Michael. I think that there's actually three manifestations of tongues that I know of, and one of them that we only see once in the New Testament, where they preach the gospel to the lost people in their own languages, which was a supernatural manifestation. And then there's the one you said, the tongues with interpretation for the edification of the body. And then there's the personal edification one.
That's right. But you can be, we have a sister here in the local fellowship that was in church, and she was speaking in tongues in her personal language. But there was two Chinese sisters behind her, or two Chinese ladies behind her, that heard her speak. And then after the services were over and they were outside, the two ladies came up to the sister that was speaking in tongues and said, you speak Chinese. And she said, no, I don't speak Chinese. They said, oh, yes, you speak Chinese. She said, no, I don't speak Chinese. And they told her what she had said, and she said, oh, that was when I was speaking in tongues. But I don't know how all that works like that. But anyway, those two ladies that heard her talking about the Jesus and the resurrection and dying on the cross and that kind of thing to bring them to Christ. And Michael's right that, you know, there's, I guess there's three of them. But she thought she was speaking in her personal language when God was actually using her to minister to these ladies in from China.
I've heard of that many times. Likewise, Michael, and I've often felt when I was reading in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts of the Spirit, when it talks about tongues and interpretation of tongues, I think it's narrow to take that and just say that just means somebody speaking out in an unknown tongue in a service. And somebody can interpret it with a gift of interpretation. But I have heard of brethren who could speak, when they were anointed by the Spirit, could speak any language and understand any language. And I believe, especially in these latter days, I believe it's going to be, as it says in the Scripture, a quick work will the Lord work in the earth and cut it short in righteousness. I believe that God's going to anoint a people, and language is going to be no barrier. Neither is travel. I believe he's going to catch them in the spirit. They're going to speak in languages they never heard to people, and they're going to understand, and they're going to move in a complete new dimension that they only dreamed of before.
Amen. I've got a personal friend of mine, Curry Blake, out of Dallas, Texas, that was over in Africa, flew over there, and he got a taxi, was going to go out into the bush to minister to this tribe out there. And these were two guys in the taxi were talking in their own language, and Curry didn't know whatever it was that they were talking, and they were conspiring to take him out in the bush and rob him and kill him and put him out there, and he started speaking back to him in English. He said, I hear every word you're saying, and said, if you don't turn this taxi around right now in the name of Jesus, God's going to strike you, you know, or something to that effect. Boy, and they got scared. And they took him back. He understood every word they said. He told me personally, he said, I understood every word they said. Also, David's got a testimony. David Hills has got a testimony where he went over into some Eastern Bloc country, was translated over there, and spoke in tongues in the pulpit of this large Gothic-type church, like a Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox church. And spoke. I said, what'd you say? He said, I ain't got a clue. But the people there understood every word I said, because they'd clap and they'd get up and they'd praising God. He said they understood him. So, yeah, God can do anything. He can do absolutely anything, and will, when it comes to bringing his people into the kingdom.
I know a brother in Africa, and God supernaturally downloaded 11 languages to him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I mean, he learned English in one day. And he just has the faith for that. He was in Cambodia, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he had such a heart for the people. He just began to preach in their language. And he's just an illiterate, as it were, African brother, a bit illiterate, but he's the Lord's used him to raise 10 people from the dead. And he does, you know, you can't, the Lord takes the foolish to confound the wise.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Wow, that's a testimony. Because I know even when Tom said, you know, he went to heaven, it's just that knowledge is just in your head, and you understand everybody, no matter what language, what background, you know, they're from. You know, that's in the spirit, and we can be in the same thing here. You know, the kingdom is here as far as that. I remember, you know, hearing a story about a missionary went down to, I think it was Mexico or South America or something like that, and he didn't know the language, and he just spoke in tongues, and he was preaching down there, and you know, just speaking in tongues. He was speaking in the Spanish language and, you know, in spirit. So, I mean, the Lord can use anything as far as that. So, that's an awesome testimony. 10 languages just downloaded. Thank you, Lord.
I don't know if you told me that earlier some other time, Michael, but I'd heard about that before, that guy. Probably was you. About that guy that God downloaded 10 languages to. That's awesome.
His name was Supressa. He was in Africa as a young child. He came out of a family of sorcery. And in the middle of the night, he wakes up and there's a loud voice saying, "Run, Supressa, run, run." And he wakes up going, "What?" He doesn't have any idea what's going on. And then it gets more desperate. "Run, run, Supressa, run." Finally, the third time, he jumps up and runs, and his best friend is out there running too. And they ran together, and that night the village was destroyed. The Muslims came and destroyed everything. And he ends up tired and hungry 3 days later at this missionary's place, and the missionary leads him to Christ, and he gets baptized in the Spirit, and mighty things happen in the brother's life.
Awesome. Awesome.
And then he got real important, you know, after a while. He started having a traveling here and preaching here after he got established, and he had this wonderful little what do you call it, appointment book, where you make all your appointments for the places you're going to preach, you know. And one day, I think it was, if I got the story correct, he went out to the outhouse and looked down, and there was his appointment book down in the manure, you know. And he goes, "Lord," and the Lord says, "That's where I want it. Are you ready to walk with me?" He said, "But Lord, that's all my appointments for the next 2 years. He said, they're not my appointments." And immediately when he went ahead and let her go, and he said, "Now go to this other city." He went to this place, prayed for a dead person they raised from the dead. So he just let go of his own agenda, you know.
Oh, my. Yeah. Praise God. That's where all of our appointment books need to be. Praise the Lord.
I mean, that's really what he's trying to teach us, is just to be led of the Spirit, just led of him.
Can I say something for just a few minutes,
certainly,
Tim?
Certainly, yeah.
And this is for, most of you have heard this, but we know that the most important thing right now is to run to the Lord. Run just as hard and fast to the Lord. Get as much word in you as you can. This is the time that God is going to pick the bride. He's picking the bride now. And those that are submitting themselves to him, they've given everything to him, and they're running after the Lord, and they're seeking the Lord, and they're wanting to know more about the Lord, and they're being led by the Spirit. These are the ones God's going to use mightily. Being led by the Spirit means to allow God to take over and to lead you. Nothing else matters in this world. Your little, you know, our little appointment books, like Michael was talking about, they don't matter. What matters most now is being in the will of God, the right will of God, not just kind of on the edge, looking around, seeing, you know, what other people are doing. Go to the Lord yourself. You got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and allow the Lord to work in you that work that he wants to do, to make you that mature man of God that can he can use and trust in the days ahead. And you know what will happen? When we submit to the Lord, he'll use you just like he did that guy over in Africa, just like he's used other people before us because they did submit themselves. Nothing else mattered but God. Nothing else mattered but doing the will of God and being in the will of God, staying in the Word. And I'm talking to myself too, because I tell you, there's a lot more I could get out of the Word than I have been. And I'll just confess that, and I ask the Lord to forgive me for not getting in the Word more, and staying in the Word, and being in the Word, and listening to Him more. And that's, I believe God is, we're right at the brink here of this thing happening, this great happening in the world that God's going to do for one reason, and that's to fill up the kingdom. This great shaking, this great shaking that God has planned for humanity, for His people. This is for His people. This is not for the world. This is for His people. This is to bring people closer to Him, because every one of you knows when you're in trouble, you cry out to the Lord. I'm talking about His people. They'll cry out to the Lord. And that's why this shaking is coming, is to get people's attention back on Him. And when you have already done that, you have given everything, then God can use you in mighty, miraculous ways. Just like this this guy over in Africa, you'll see people raised from the dead. You'll see people. You'll see people that are translated from one place to another, if nothing else, to save somebody out of harm's way and bring them back into safety, so that God can use them in a mighty way. And these type of things, Jesus said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things you're going to do. And I believe that with all my heart, that He's going to use this last generation in that type of setting. That there's going to be ways that, look, we put God in such a small box. David calls it a shallow pool. And when you put God in a small, look, there ain't nothing. There's nothing that God can't do and will do to save His people and to teach us, you know, what He will do. He did that to the Egyptians. If you listened to the broadcast last night, if you remember, the Lord let them pass that little peninsula going toward the Red Sea. And He said, hold on, back up. Y'all going back down this other way, down there by Migdal. And what He did, He hemmed them in. He hemmed them in so He could show the Israelites how great His power is. And that's what He's going to do in the days ahead. He's going to show us the same type of power and more in the days ahead than he ever has. I'm telling you, people are going to see God do awesome, awesome type of miracles in their life. And we'll be able to be a part of that if you're running toward the Lord and you're doing all that you know to do in the Lord. Quit this backbiting. Quit this, I heard this or how. Man, look, all that stuff don't amount to nothing. You know what amounts more than anything is getting your eyes focused on the Lord and staying there. That's the most important thing right now in this hour that we're in. We've got Greece has got a financial collapse. Let me tell you a little secret. When Greece goes, Germany goes. And when Germany goes, Europe goes. And when, of course, it's a domino effect. It's going to go all the way around the world. It ain't going to stop with Greece, for goodness sake. Puerto Rico, I heard the other day, they've already defaulted to the United States. They're $72 billion in debt to the United States. Of course, Obama, he'll spend that in a day's time, but that doesn't make any difference. God's doing this. This is God ordained. This whole thing is God ordained. Obama is God ordained. All of these things that are coming up on the horizon are God ordained. And all we have to do is just believe that God is sovereign. He's the one handling everything. He's got us in His hand. Ain't nothing going to happen without God's permission. That devil can't wipe his nose without God's permission. And once we get that in our heart, we'll be in that rest, that sabbatismos rest, where we know nothing's going to happen to us. It don't make any difference what's going on around you, man. Makes no difference whatsoever. You can go to, you can be in the worst situation and think there's no way out, just like the Israelis did, and God will get you out of there. He can part the Red Sea, or he can translate you out of that position. And you're going to see it. A lot of us are going to see that. So get that want to get in the Word and learn more about the Word and get it in your heart. Michael Montana often talks about learning those scriptures. I'm of the opinion if you get in that Word of God, God's going to put it in your heart, and you're going to be able to relate those scriptures when the time comes. And I believe we ought to be memorizing scriptures, but most of all, we need to be seeking the Lord in all of these things that we do. Don't go anywhere without asking the Lord. And be praying and asking the Lord now where he wants you to be. And if you feel comfortable where you are and you're resting in the Spirit, that's fine. It don't make any difference what's going on around you. He's going to have you in his palm of his hand. Amen. I see it's about time to go.
There's one scripture, Mike, in Isaiah 26:9. And when thy judgments are in the world, the inhabitants thereof do learn righteousness.
Glory to God. Yes, that's right.
That was one thing I was really seeing, was being part of this ministry, we're getting so much truth. And because of that truth, we've been freed up in so many areas that the church isn't freed up in and the world isn't freed up in. I just, when I'm out in Babylon, I just see so much bondage out there. When I talk to the people in religion, I just see so much bondage there under the law, and just, you know, they're not freed up. And the truth sets us free, and we got to get as much truth in us as we can. And when God shows us something, we got to get set apart from our flesh and set apart from this world and just be walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. And that's where he needs us to be. And, you know, a lot, you know, that's what we're striving for, so we can be used of him in these days, because the world is deceived. The church is deceived. There's so much deception out there. When I was just seeing people, and I just have this compassion for people, because they're just so lost, and the Lord needs a remnant, and he just needs us in the Word and not distracted by, you know, the things of this world and television and everything that, you know, it's just, those are all just distractions. And so as much time as, I was not in the Word when I was up in Ohio, because I was so busy. And when I got back, I was so hungry. It was just, I just wanted to stay in the Word. And you know, I've been, you know, a little bit busy now, but it's just like I've been in a Bible study, and I can't wait to get back into it, you know, because the Lord has been opening, you know, my eyes to some things. So, man, just put that first, because, I mean, time is short. Time is really short, and this whole thing is going to, you know, come tumbling down in, you know, in the near future, and we just got to be in a place where, you know, we just, you know, we're not going to get grasped by fear, and that we know where we are with the Lord. So, you know, just take heed, and just, you know, just see what the stumbling blocks that keep you out of the Word, and get rid of those stumbling blocks. Amen. So, all right, before we close out, does anybody need any prayer? Well, Father, we just thank you for another just a beautiful night with you, Lord, and your truth, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just giving us all just a hunger for truth, a hunger for your Word, a hunger for righteousness, a hunger to be set apart from the lies of this world and what this world offers. And Lord, just put your faith in us, Lord. Just renew your Spirit in us, Lord. Father, just guide us, Lord. We all want to be just led of you, led of the Spirit, not, you know, not be led of our flesh or led of our emotions. And Lord, we just hunger and thirst for just your truth, Lord. So So, Father, I just ask you just continue to open our spiritual eyes, Lord, and show us the distractions in our lives so we can get rid of those stumbling blocks and just so we can just be right with you, Lord. We just thank you for all that you're doing in everybody's life and just guiding and directing us, Lord. And, Father, we just ask you just bless this body, Lord, and just guide and direct them in these days. We just thank you for this fellowship, for this time to come together and be in one accord, because it's just not out there. And we just thank you for these people. We thank you for David and just the truth that he's brought forth, Lord. We ask you just bless him. And we just thank you for your angels around about him just to protect him. And we just thank you for all that, this ministry is doing. And Lord, just open our eyes, Lord. Just help us to stay focused in on you and not on our past or not on the situations right about us, Lord, but, where we're going in you. And we just thank you for just manifesting Christ in all of us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody. It's been another great night. We'll see y'all next week.